Blog Talk Radio.
That's right on time. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. It's live here with the Lauda Hill Legend. We had another great Thursday night here on www.blogtalkradio.com/speakonit11. We're here to talk about everything in the world of sports and entertainment. It is myself, the Lauda Hill Legend, here with my co-host Cornell, Celebration, and my road dog, Cleon. Cleon has finagled his way on to the show. We don't know what his contract is, and he's keeping it real quiet. But and keeping it quiet literally and figuratively. But while we get into the show, we got a great show for everyone tonight. But before we even get started on what we're going to talk about, we do have a guest. Actually, we have a guest tonight, and we're going to interview Patrick Bonner, Pat Bonner, if you're from Broward County, Florida. Just to give you a quick rundown, Pat Bonner is a record-breaking quarterback from the one and the only Florida A&M University. And I'm going to say that again, the one and only Florida A&M University. He also was a starting quarterback at Temple University for a year, and he signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after he left Florida A&M. Just a few of the awards and stats that he's accumulated. I mean, in 1998, he was the quarterback and the captain of probably the best team ever to play at FAMU. He amassed over 4,200 yards passing with 42 touchdowns towards only 9 interceptions with a 65.4 completion completion rate. Could you imagine what that quarterback rating is? They weren't doing. Were they doing that back then in '98?
I don't think so.
I have no idea.
I wonder what that quarterback rating there is.
You could probably put the numbers together and then do it now.
Yeah, I'm sure you could. 42-9 and 65. That'll be pretty high. But
that was 1 year, right?
That's one season. Yeah, one season. You know, so
Are you done talking about this accolade? Because I ain't heard you say nothing about Boyd Anderson High School at all.
That's what I was just about to say. That's one of the few that ain't set up.
How the hell y'all going to get up here and interrupt the damn monologue? Does anybody interrupt Arsenio Hall? Do his friends come on there and interrupt? I'm getting to all of that. Go do your thing, man. Thank you, man. You got it. Since they already spoiled it for us, he was also a star quarterback and point guard at Boyd Anderson High School, the Boyd Anderson High School Cobras, a school that holds a place dear to my heart. I'll say why later on, ladies and gentlemen. But he also was a state championship point guard at Boyd Anderson High School. He actually played that state game in Tallahassee, didn't he? That state game was in Tallahassee, wasn't it?
No, I thought that was in Lakeland. Mm-hmm.
It was in Lakeland.
It was in Tallahassee, Florida. I was right there.
It was in Tallahassee. I'll explain later. But anyway, like I said, he was a star quarterback at Boyd Anderson High School, where it all started, and the state championship point guard at Boyd Anderson High School also. Went on to Temple University, left Temple, went on to FAMU, threw for 4,200 yards, probably, in my opinion, the greatest quarterback ever to play at FAMU. And went on to sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He does a skill academy and quarterback camp, which focuses on quarterback development. So he's going to talk about that a little bit tonight and some of his experiences in high school and college and just coming up in the ranks and being basically a Tallahassee superstar. He's a superstar in the Big Bend area of Florida. Also tonight, we're going to talk about the University of Miami and how the U is back, how University of Miami paraphernalia and apparel is flying off the shelves. I was in Walmart and Target tonight. They did not have anything that was in a size medium, large, or extra large. Everything else was gone. It was gone. So just a few. South Florida is truly a bandwagon town, and I am the driver of the bandwagon. I am with the Miami Hurricane, and the Canes are going all the way with quarterback Malik Rozier. I must give him his credit. So, I give him credit when credit is due. Now, I give credit to him. So I'm keeping it real. But the University of Miami is back. Seriously, it's not too many teams stop that defense. We also going to talk about the Miami Dolphins and the stupidity that they do. How two teams in the same city, one can be so dumb and one can be on a rise. I never have understood that. And also, Cornell will be here again with his do you have somebody this week, Cornell?
Ain't nobody been cooning, man.
What about LiAngelo Ball over there in China? That's just being stupid. I hope Steve Davis and I talk about that all the time. Actions versus opinions of somebody. All right. But we won't get that. For those of you that don't know, LiAngelo Ball and two other UCLA college basketball players were in China for an exhibition game that UCLA was playing, and they were caught stealing from Louis Vuitton store. Was it Gucci or some of that?
It was Louis Vuitton.
I know they went to like four stores or something like that. But their record has gotten up.
They cleaned it up for the boys. They got them out, and they'll be trying to expunge it for them.
Here's the thing. Here's my question. What the hell are they doing stepping foot in now? Can anybody answer that? Am I wrong for saying that?
What's the name? The ball kid. I mean, I'm figuring he can afford to go in there.
He can afford it.
That's his brother money.
You know, they got a reality show. They got the big baller brand, and you know.
Yeah, he got a little chump change of his own. He could have bought his little Louis Vuitton shades. He had to try to walk out of the store with them. I think that's not even what happened.
Well, he damn sure wasn't trying to buy them because somebody stole them. I don't know who and I don't know what. Somebody stole them. Mm-hmm. And now, the big thing with the black community, yes, we can say that on here because, you know, the big thing with the black community now is nobody wants to speak out and say how Trump got them released, if that's true. Don't know if it's true or not. I wasn't there. But nobody wants to say anything about it. So that's the big thing now amongst the black community is that nobody wants to give Trump credit. You got some people saying they ought to give Trump credit. Others say they should not. Anyway, that's what we got for you tonight. That was a hell of a monologue because usually I don't get interrupted. But the B.A. Cobra blood running through their veins just took over for a minute. But because
they feeling
I feel
proud.
I can understand that, but see, my thing is this.
Okay. No,
you can't understand that.
Why wouldn't
I understand?
I told you, you and Scott were part of the first wave of sellouts.
Oh, wow. Dang.
Tell me how you really feel, man. Tell me how you really.
Why would they sell out though? For what?
Where you were supposed to be at, Tommy? Where Scott was supposed to be at?
I was supposed to be at Stranahan. That's where I was supposed to be.
Oh, come on, man. Well, then you should have went to Rogers Middle School then.
Nah, it don't matter what middle school you went to, man. If your daddy worked somewhere, you got to go where your daddy at. That's how it works.
Well, then you should have went to Stranahan then.
Well, I mean, who wants to go there to play football? Nothing against Stranahan. Shout out to Stranahan, man. Shout out to J45 and Pop Rain here at Stranahan, man. Don't y'all take this in the wrong way, but man, ain't nobody doing that.
We're
going to go
personal.
Through a quick. Yeah.
They're going to take it personal. Yeah.
And also, shout out to Hollandale High School. We in overtime right now with Norland at the girls' basketball. I'm getting the alerts across my phone. So shout out to Hollandale Girls Basketball. Hey, we're going to come right back. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back with the University of Miami, the Canes, baby. We back. We got some Canes over here. Play the music, Tap. We're going to go on the
deal with you.
We got some Canes over here.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Tommy.
Oh, dude. Uh-huh.
And you're going to be able to...
Okay. Shut up, okay, what's up? Right around in my brand new 99 photo, Volvo. I got a pocket full of beans, so we weed ain't got no place to go, though. But all my bogan boys, they know, though. That's for sure, though.
Are those
bigger
white jeans you're wearing?
Hell nah, ho, you know they polos. I've been used again, accused again. This time been rolling top or something done by one of my using friends. Soon as they seen the bands, hit the season was in. Hell, cause they ain't feeling me, but I understand and they reason being. See, but I'm the man for this. While y'all was doing fine, I was doing time just praying for this. Locked up, making plans for this. Without all that fancy shit. Way too advanced for this. Got polo socks, tank tops, and drawers up under my plans. Shit. Shut up, uh-huh. Okay, what's up? Shut up, uh-huh. Okay, what's up?
Okay, I know, son. Okay, uh-huh.
Say, boy, what's up? Wake up a slug in your head or your gun. What's up with the keys to the truck? Your old lady say she got bees in the cut. What's up with the safe with the combo? Open that shit, nigga, fuck all the convo. Station, what's up with your Haitian? Probably got birds in the safe house waiting. What's up? Where you scroll the D? I ain't found shit but a quarter key. Nigga, you better not be playing me. You gon' bleed that. You understand me? What's up? You ready to go? You wanna turn kids with a blue fofo? What's up? Fuck, nigga, say something. You go front, you ready to spray something. Gunplay, how I got the stripes. Two, four, pins, turn out the lights. Gunplay.
Y'all around here listening to Trick Dad. All right, we back on the line, everybody. Like I was saying before we went to break, in all seriousness, we're very happy to have a guest here on the radio show tonight. Number one, to make sure that we are able to publicize the positive things that he's doing in the community and also how he's working, using his skills in football to give back to the youth of the day. But also, who we have on the show again is Patrick Barner. And as I said, is a record-setting quarterback from Florida A&M University. And I'm going to say it again, the one and only Florida A&M University, who hails from Boyd Anderson High School. Let me make sure I say Boyd Anderson High School. Did y'all hear that? B-A. B-A, B-A. And like I always say, B-A holds a special place in my heart. But Boyd Anderson High School representative, Florida A&M great, Patrick Barner. I want to welcome you to the show, my brother. How you doing, sir?
Man, I'm good, man. Sure enough, glad y'all got me on, man.
That's good. We're going to mute these other mics for a minute because Cornell is probably going to say something crazy about where I went to high school because he does it every week. But we're not going to get into that. Now, one of the first things I want to ask you is, like, coming up from middle school, we can just be honest on it. You and I both actually, we went to middle school together. I think I'm two grades ahead of you. But coming up from middle school, did you make a choice to go to Boyd Anderson, or was that just where you were naturally leaning to, or were private schools after you? Tell us a little bit about that.
Man, it's funny because throughout Little League, you know, you have people now that talk about the recruiting aspect of kids at a young age. I saw several high school coaches, man, coming through Lauderdale Lakes Park, and it was up to me where I wanted to go to school, but most people don't know, I was on St. Thomas campus the first day of school, and I just didn't feel comfortable. Met with, you know, the people in the front office, met with Coach Smith. I just told my mom, you know, I didn't feel comfortable. So my next move was, I was like, I wanted to go play with the guys I grew up with, and that's how I ended up at Boyd Anderson.
Now, hold on, wait. This is twisted, all of this here. Hold on, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know what? That's why I love doing this, right? See, we get the truth. Ooh. And we get the truth. You were at St. Thomas for one day.
I was on St. Thomas campus the first day of school of my ninth grade year. Me, my mom, and two of my uncles. Yeah.
Which would have made me in 11th grade. Boy, I was a hothead in 11th grade. Boy, if I'd have been in that front office, you'd have stayed over there. Boy, you'd have stayed over there. Boy, I was number one recruiter. Number one recruiter, right? Ask Chris Gibson. Number one recruiter.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough about me. So you went on to Boyd Anderson High School, and, mm-hmm. and from my understanding, your senior year at Boyd Anderson, you led them further than they ever went for, except for two times in history. And I might have it wrong. Cleon, you were on that team, weren't you, in your ninth grade year? Well, how far did y'all go? You lost to Dunedin, I believe it was. And then I know Blair lost in the sectional against St. Thomas a couple of years ago.
No, we lost to Riverview in the second round with Larry Kennedy.
There you
I want
go.
To talk about it. Though.
That's it. Yeah.
I want to talk about it.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah. But I know Bonner, you led them pretty much as far as Boyd Anderson ever gone. What was special about that team and special about your coaching that you had, or special about that season?
Well, I had the luxury of being coached by Noonie Robinson, who played college ball as a quarterback, as a starting quarterback at Tuskegee, and led one of their better teams to a 10-0 season. Coming in ninth grade, you know, a coaching change away from Coach Buscemi and the Wishbone, which did really, really well, kind of sent the program into dismay for a year or two, which left me and a bunch of other younger guys to kind of come in and kind of learn how to win a little bit from guys that were there that were leaving. And then we took our own steps to to build that program back up with guys like Martavis Houston and Dan Evans, Brandon Bivens, Dorian Wilkins and Brian Dane. We had a host of guys, man. We just got in and built that thing back up, man, to where it was in the late 80s, mid 80s, I think it was.
Yeah, because Boyd Anderson, man, I remember 87, 88, they were 10-0, both of those.
Yeah, man, they were good, man. They were good.
Yeah, they were awesome, man. A lot of good players on those. I think we were naming some of them in the queue, like Richard McKenzie, Tarris Alexander, Amp Bingham, Sean Bingham, all of those guys that came before you. They were amazing. You brought back that resurgence to Boyd Anderson because, you know, I think it was like one or two down years or whatever.
Yeah.
And I joke around a lot, but Boyd Anderson, Nooney Robinson and my father are actually pretty close. You know, they're frat brothers. So I always kind of followed it, you know, and that sort of thing. So I always just had that respect for Boyd Anderson, even though I make a lot of jokes to Cornell and Cleon on the show. But I always had respect for Boyd Anderson and everything that you did. So
it was a luxury to have him, man, coaching me, to be honest, man, and to make sure I say that again. You know, a lot of things I learned, a lot of things that helped me later on was because of him.
Wow, that's amazing. He was a quarterback in college, wasn't he?
All right, Tuskegee University.
At Tuskegee, that's right. Yeah, he was a quarterback at Tuskegee, yeah. Now, then moving along, you went on and you signed with Temple out of high school. Now, what other schools were recruiting you, and what kind of happened with your recruitment?
Well, everyone knew, you know, that FSU was my choice. And once they opened the door and asked me that I want to attend, you know, Florida State, it was a given for me through the middle of my 12th grade year, along with schools like Arizona, Tennessee, University of Texas, and Indiana were my five visits. But I was a knucklehead, you know, didn't take care of my business school-wise. And that led to me not passing the ACT until March of my senior year, which was 94. Back then, they didn't have the prop situation with Florida State. They didn't have that back then. So it was either go to a junior college or you take the route of whatever schools were left. So it was Temple and Arizona that was still left that would take me without the test score. So Temple was my choice because I had family in Philadelphia and whatnot. So I figured, you know, not to take a chance going to a junior college where I may hurt myself or something else and things go bad, whereas I can go to Temple and still get education and play good football in the Big East.
True. That's a good point that you're making. And I just like any of those youngsters that are out here listening, you know, any setback that you have, it's nothing to make a comeback. Because that's a very good point that you make. And again, just because not making a test, I just want to make this very clear. That doesn't make anyone not strong academically, you know, because, see, I deal with this every day. You know, test taking and being strong academically are two total different things. So I just want to make that clear to everybody that's listening. At Temple, at the University of Temple, I remember you had the opportunity to play against the University of Miami. I do remember watching that game. But how was your time at Temple, and what kind of led to you transferring from Temple?
Well, we had I'm not sure, but maybe the first African American Division I coach, if not the first, second, in Ron Dickerson. So we had two of us quarterback in there. Henry Burris was ahead of me, and it was a West Coast offense, totally different from what I did in high school, but similar to what I ran as a 10th and 11th grader. So it went fairly well. We weren't winning a lot, man, because I like to tell people, if you look back at the Big East back during that time, you had the University of Miami, you had Syracuse, you had Virginia Tech, you had West Virginia, you had Pittsburgh, and we played Penn State every year. So you're talking about six top 20 teams during that time. You got to see them every year, and five of them are in conference. So there wasn't a lot of room to win a whole lot of games because they didn't recruit South Florida. They didn't recruit Georgia like they should to build something strong. But still, that foundation was built by playing for guys like Steve Goldman, who was a 10-year vet in the Canadian Football League. Ron Dickerson, who came from Penn State as a defensive coordinator, who broke down any and every defense that we would possibly see. And we had it on our table every Tuesday. So that was the foundation. It was good to be there. I learned a whole lot. And his firing brought in a guy named Bobby Wallace from North Alabama. And we all know I'm not too fond of running nobody's option. So it was time for me to say, let me see what I want to do with myself, with my last year. And I figured I could give myself a chance by going somewhere that threw the football. And Coach Billy Joe recruited me out of high school, but they came in late in 94. So I remember his spiel and his whole notion of I'm going to pass the ball. So I gave him a call and said, hey, listen, you know, I don't know what you have down there, but, you know, I'm coming if it's open. And that's how it happened.
Okay. Now here's where I come in on this, now. Cause see, this is when you went to FAMU, now. Because by the time you were getting there, this was, what, 96 or 97 you getting there?
I got there in 98,
okay. Yeah, 98. I was gone by then. But you get to Tallahassee.
I love that place.
I know that. That's what we're going to talk about now. This what this show. We got to remember this is a family show because I know you stepped back there on the set on the Friday. And I know.
I'm glad you just said that.
Go on and explain it to me. You tell me about it when you stepped out on that set for the first time on the Friday.
Listen, man. I got to go back a little. When I first got there, tour day, it was hot. Nobody was there. I'm like, man, listen, all this noise I hear about 16-1 and the beautiful this, and there's nobody there. So the first day that students start coming in, we're still practicing, so I can't get up there to see what's really going on. The first time I walked in that cafeteria, where you turn that corner where the cafeteria is there, you can see set, you can see cafeteria. I said, my. I was singing like Johnny Gill. My.
You in heaven. You in heaven. 21 years old. That's in heaven.
Oh my goodness.
We got a lady on the panel. So let me just make sure I keep it clean.
Did she know what's going on them too?
Yes, she did.
Yes, she.
Hey, Rex, what's going on? You see how he glossed over that 94 state championship, though? He ain't even making that, but I ain't
going to say it. Listen, man, give me a second, boss. My bad. You know what? I really did. That's my fault on that. Tell me a little bit about that.
He jumped right over it, didn't he, Phil?
I did. And you know what? Cornell keep me straight. I must admit, he been keeping me straight since the seventh grade. All he ever did was get us in trouble in class anyway. But, seriously, let's go back. Let's backtrack a little bit. For the listeners, it's harder for me to interview somebody when I already know. You know what I'm saying? So let me backtrack a little bit for the listeners. My bad. Let's go back to your senior year of high school. Now you got knocked out of the playoffs in football by a team in Palm Beach, I believe it was.
We lost to Santa
Luz. Santa Luz. Okay, yeah, that's Palm Beach. I'm on the right track. All right, you lost to Santa Luz. You come back and you play basketball. To me, this is the gut check right here. You come back, basketball, you point guard, you're more than likely you're the captain of the team. If you're not, you're the marquee player on the team. And you take it all the way to the state championship, and you win it, the first one in school history. What made that so significant to you? Tell me what was special about that team.
I think the team before us, the Durant Williams, the White Williams, Tisdale, Al Brown, Sally, Admore White. I mean, you had High Fly, Merv Patrick, Damian Grant. They all over the place, you know, scoring points, dunking on people the whole nine. But my particular team, they didn't expect us to do as well. But, you know, we all came together and played as one. I like to tell people, we had four football players on the court at one time in the starting lineup. So you take a football player that's an athlete, and put him against a little narrow basketball player that's never been hit, touched, or anything like that, we're going to pound you as those four quarters go on because we used to run and we used to bang it. And that's what happened. We literally ran people out of the gym, including Vince Carter from Mainland in the semifinals, and then Willie Anderson from the Supersonics in Boone in the finals. So
it was cool, man, to
win a state championship. I had the only one. I'll be able to come back, and we still host these arguments about who has the best team and who was the best team, but I just tell them, man, we got hardware, so y'all had a lot of jumps.
Yeah, I'm
going to
put you on the spot.
I'm
going to put you on the spot. Now, would you have beat those teams with the Twins? Would y'all have beat the teams with the Twins?
No, they wouldn't.
I think we played three games. We'll beat them 2 out of 1. 2 to 1.
No, you beat them 2 to 1.
Well, that's
you know the difference. You know the difference in our team and those teams. And you got to be honest. You had a lot of self on those teams, and I was on one of them, so I know. You understand what I'm saying? My team didn't have self, so they may get that one, but 2 out of 3 would have beat them just because we played together.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Now y'all
well,
got the hard
one. This is interesting. Yeah.
So we can't argue that one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since we're talking basketball, quick, we're going to get back to football. And this is a reoccurring argument here on this show. So we got to hear you now. Remember, this is your opinion, so we ain't here to argue about this.
Gotcha.
Who's the best basketball player you ever seen in Broward County?
Oh, man, why you do that to me?
Yeah, you know what I say, Pat?
Cornell, that's not fair. That's not fair. You can't do that.
I'm just saying.
That's not
you
fair.
You know what, man? Hey, listen.
You can say yourself. You can put yourself in it.
You know what? I was going to get to that point there, man. I saw some awesome basketball players. The Big Twin and Greg Gibson.
There you
I
go. Thank you.
Are the best that I saw with my own eyes.
There you go, Cornell. I told you.
I told you, I've never seen Greg Gibson play, man. I heard about him,
I don't doubt it.
But boy, I had to guard Admo in practice.
But it's close, man, because you got Admo and then you got Little Twin. But I love me, too, so you know how that goes.
That's right.
Boy,
there you go.
Admo the baddest I've seen, man.
Man, listen, I all of them.
And I just told Durant that. I just told Durant that Saturday all of us was together. Me, Durant,
yeah, you got cats down there. Like I saw my eyes, like Fred Pollard and McClendon.
Yeah.
I never got a chance to see Brian Connor, but I've heard stories about him.
Oh,
I never
good.
Got to see him with my own eyes, so I couldn't speak on.
And he had no team. I mean, he had no team with him.
But I tell you what, we had three Broward County Players of the Year back to back 3 years in a row.
True. Never thought of it.
We're both twins
right.
And Admore.
That's right. You surely did. Wow. Mm-hmm. Never thought of it that way. All right.
Admore the baddest I ever seen, man.
let's get to these 4,200 yards now. Let's get to some football now. Now you get the FAMU, all right, and Billy Joe is running the Gulf Coast offense, the hottest, in my opinion at the time, one of the hottest offenses in college football. When you stepped out on that field, what was there much of a difference between Division I when you played up there at Penn State and when you played against like your Alcorn State? Could you really see the difference? Was it that much of a difference or not in the speed?
Yes, I got to be honest with you. It was a different speed, and let me line it up for you first. We played Hampton in the beginning. He started Mike Moran that first game because I hadn't got to the point where, I was ready to play fully because I didn't understand the entire offense. So it was set up almost in a good way for me not to play that first game, but I did play, and I got a taste of it. And, I mean, the things that you got to understand, playing against the Penn State, playing against University of Miami, in that secondary, you got 4-3 across the board everywhere. You know, when you step out there against the Norfolk State, you know, the speed isn't there. So for me, it was almost an advantage to play against those teams in the Big East along with other teams we played and then see certain teams like Morgan State line up and try to blitz me, but you actually showing it to me because your speed isn't there to come from depth. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
As a defensive back.
I see what you're saying.
I see what you're doing before you're doing it because you don't have that 4-4-4-3 that can come from distance to hide it from you.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference, the speed was different, but I think the strength, if you're asking the difference between the black college football and Division I football, on the whole, I think it's more so the strength up front is the biggest difference. And the difference maker between Division One and 1AA because of the resources to feed those big guys and the weight rooms and the nutrition and the whole nine was a difference for me looking at it once I got there.
And you started a trend with some of these quarterbacks going back to FAMU. The kid from Clemson, his nickname is Ray Ray. Cleon can say Willie Simmons.
He's over at Alcorn now, I think.
He's a coach also. Yeah, he's a coach.
Prairie View, I think.
And then Casey Printers, he left, I think it was Kansas State, I believe.
Juwan Sider came from West Virginia.
So you started a trend with that. So, you know, I just think, I personally think, even though you, in my opinion, get all the credit in the world that you should get, and you don't get enough credit about being a trendsetter. Because before that, and during my years, because, see, all my years at FAMU preceded yours, the quarterbacks at FAMU were recruited to be there, all of them, every single one of them, because I can name them all. I know them. Right there with them, so it wasn't that no one had that, I guess, that innovative mind or that coaching mind to do that until you decided to come there, and then after that, that's what they were doing at FAMU.
Let me tell you a tidbit here. Remember, I said when talking about initially coming to Florida State, Coach Billy made himself known. You know, even though he came in late in '94, he made himself known that, hey, listen, if anything ever goes wrong, the door is open. You see, a lot of times our black colleges don't go after, you know, top guys because they feel as though they can't get them. But I remembered him and how thorough he was about and adamant about saying, hey, listen, if it doesn't work, my door is open. You know, because he had a plan already, and it just so happened the door was open.
Y'all definitely tossed it around that season in '98, man. What a great season. I wasn't in Tallahassee in '98. I was actually in Broward, but I just remember reading about it. And it's so funny. One of the guys that was your receiver, I worked with him for the past few years. John Battle. I worked with John. And then I can't think of the other guy's name. He's an AP also. His name will come. He'll come to me in the show and I'll say it, but he was another one of the receivers also. He was from Miami. I just can't think of his name right now. It escapes me. But and we always would talk. We would always talk about those days. Because those were some awesome days, man. 4,200 yards and 42 touchdowns is a hell of a season. And
it's going to be tough to touch that, man.
It is, in any level, you know, in any circumstance. It's going to take a hell of a player to do it, and it's going to take a hell of a group of receivers and everyone to come together to do that. So so tell us a little bit about after you leave FAMU and bring us up to speed with what you're working on now.
Well, you know, of course, I got a chance over with Tampa. I had about four or five teams that called right after the draft. To give me a shot, and I just felt Tampa being an area populated by a lot of Rattlers would give me that push, that opportunity to stay in that area. It was working out fine, but you had myself, you had Sean King, and Trent Dilfer, and the thing was they wanted to bring in someone with a career backup. What's the word I'm looking for?
Aspirations,
They brought in Brown, Jeff Brown.
Yeah, okay.
So it was like a safety net. So, you know, right there I'm looking outside, looking in, because Sean's, you know, second-round pick. And I guess what happened was they were unsure whether he was going to be that protection at that second spot. So they brought Brown in to secure that second spot in case Trent went down, which pushed Sean back, which ultimately pushed me out the door. It was cool. You know, lifelong dream, man, to make it to the NFL. I played in preseason games, whatnot. I touched it. I felt it, which is good with me. I went over to Canada for a little bit. I went over there to Europe for a little bit. So I got a chance to get out there, man, and see the world a little bit, which is good. But now, you know, I'm teaching it now, man. I'm trying to teach these quarterbacks to be quarterbacks, man, and not just athletes running around the football field, man.
Now, what do you see now in young quarterbacks versus when you and I were coming up? Because I remember you and I came up in the same era, pretty much throwing the ball, and it was a lot of 3-5-7 step drop. You know, the mechanics was slightly robotic, and now I know that they want you to be kind of an athlete back there, but what do you see in the difference between the guys coming up now back with, versus when we did?
Like you said, we were taught the basics and the three-step, the five-step, the seven-step, the play action. Today, I'm not a fan of what I see in today's quarterback, and I think it goes back to when they start off. You know, you put a guy quarterback and tell him, you're my fastest guy. Go, take off. Right? Well, why not teach that 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old? Why don't you teach him the three-step, the five-step, the seven-step? You teach him to roll left and roll right. You teach him to flip his hips and still allow him to be an athlete. Therefore, once he gets ready to go to college, if he gets the opportunity to run something like a run pass option offense, he still has that background to go from the center and drop back and be able to throw from the pocket, which ultimately will put him in a position to play quarterback in the pros and not just be a good college football player.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you and I debate this a lot online, which is always cool with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got a certain what's the word? I got a certain affinity for a certain quarterback that plays for USC. All right, I'm just gonna be honest with y'all. Cornell don't like him. You don't like him. Leon don't like him. Don't nobody on the show like him but me. You know, which seems to be the reoccurring theme on here. But I got an affinity for him. Who do you think is the best prospect coming out of college right now, in your opinion?
Now, we go back and forth, and you know we do. And when you say prospect, not player.
Yeah.
Because of the exact same things I just mentioned to you, being able to get back in that pocket, being used to drop back in that pocket, that guy you're talking about is going to be a higher prospect than Jackson, going to be a higher prospect than Mayfield. Because of that, the best prospect to me is the guy from Washington State, Matt Faulk.
Okay, all right.
Donald's going to go higher than these other guys because of what I just said to you about driving back in that pocket, regardless of he's thrown 40 interceptions. I'm telling you what they're basing it on, just like they based Mr. Trubisky last year, and they based Mahomes higher than Deshaun simply because we put our best player at quarterback and said be an athlete instead of putting the best player at quarterback and saying be a quarterback first, then be an athlete second.
Well, what you think about Lamar Jackson? What's the key to his success in the NFL?
I think somebody need to call Lamar Jackson people, get in contact with them, tell them we can do it under the table, on the side, whatever, and give them to me for 1 month, and I guarantee you he'll be the top prospect in the country.
Well, he ain't hard to find, Pat. All we got to do is go to Pompano. And he's from Pompano.
He better get off them dirt bikes last time I heard.
That's Pompano. Shout out to Pompano. Nothing wrong. I don't want nobody from Pompano after me. But seriously, in all seriousness, your skills and development and quarterback camp is something that we really want to highlight, because we always try to highlight we highlight all business, but of course we highlight black business also, and we want to make sure that we just highlight that for everybody in the South Florida area, the Atlanta area, and also you based in the Charlotte. Is it Charlotte, Wilmington? What area?
I'm in Charlotte, right outside Charlotte, Matthews.
Charlotte, Mecklenburg County. I was born in Charlotte. You know, that's where I was born actually. So yeah,
you told me you were gonna call when you come up there too. You ain't never.
I'll be up there. Actually, I'll be up there around Christmas time. But yeah, the Charlotte.
Why we keep going back to him? I thought we were interviewing Pat today. We done heard so many more references about him today.
Okay.
Boy, I tell you, hey, where the producer at, man? Somebody contract about to get cut, man. Anyway, like I was saying, we want to make sure we highlight this quarterback here. So tell everybody how they can get in touch with you. I know you got some YouTube videos. I know you got videos on Facebook. I like the video on Facebook. I think you still – now, you threw the damn ball down to 70 yards one time, didn't you?
Yeah, I had one of my quarterbacks one of my quarterbacks was talking a little noise, man, so I had to warm it up. And I shot it down that 77 yards, man.
Yeah, you shot that 70 yards. I ain't lying, Key. I don't know if you saw that video. I saw it. So
You can go to Facebook, Patrick Bonner Quarterback and Skills Academy. You can also go to Instagram, same thing, Patrick Bonner Quarterback and Skills Academy. There's some workout videos on there. There's some highlights of workouts with kids on there. Every now and then I put up little specs of pointers for you. I do travel. If you're in the Atlanta area, I can get to you. If you're in the Southern Virginia area, I can get to you. I'll also be home the day after Christmas for a week for anybody that's interested. Just trying to make kids understand that you can play quarterback at any level. You don't just have to be a runner. And teaching the basics of the position is most important, because at the end of the day, if you can't drop back and throw a football from that pocket, you're simply going to be a college quarterback that won't get a chance to fulfill your dreams in the pro.
True. Well, man, I enjoyed having you. I saw the feature they did on you on the Ghost of Broward County Football. I like that. I like that. And I really appreciate having you. Cleon, Cornell, you got any other questions? Celebration probably want to ask you something about Sam.
She does the
entertainment part of this, so watch out for her questions. But, yeah, go ahead, Cleon, Cornell, any questions?
No, man, you covered all the bases, man. I'd like to see you somewhere calling plays for somebody, man.
Are you interested in college coaching? That's my
intention, man. I reached out to a bunch of folk, man. I reached out to Cleon also, man. I was at John C. Smith in 2016.
No. Now listen, I love him like a little brother, but I had to get on with another way. This man tagged 64 people on his Facebook talking about, hey, now you know I'm trying to do this. I was not one of the 64. My feelings was pretty hurt because, you know,
man,
I mean, I'm not going to try to toot my own horn. But, I mean, 20 years in this thing and a couple state appearances. I'm just correcting him on this. He knows why. But, you know, I made Ms. Dilla the promise back when he was about 15 years old. I told Mama that I would look out for him. And I've kept my promise the best I could. So I just didn't understand what happened on that. But, anyway, that's for another show. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I got on my body.
Yeah.
I'm going to mute my mic.
I'm looking to move up, man. My son's 16 now, so it's time to get into the big leagues, man. I graduate here finally February 19th with my bachelor's, which gives me that piece of paper that I need.
Yeah. Shout out to that. Yeah, big shout out to that.
20 years later.
Yeah. Big shout out. It don't matter how many years later.
It's done.
Yeah, that's all right.
I'll be going to the coaching convention here in Charlotte, January 10th through 9th, and I'm just going to network, man, and get my name out there to these coaches and let them know, you know, I'm from Fort Lauderdale. I can recruit the entire state of Florida due to playing in Tallahassee and being born in Fort Lauderdale. So it's somebody out there that's going to understand it, man, and just let me get on with them and let me share my knowledge, let me recruit for them, and let me get in and go ahead and finish my thing up coaching football, man.
Well, man, listen, I am very, very happy to have you on the show. I'm very, very proud of the things that you're doing. I'm proud that you're a Broward County representative. I'm proud that you're from Boyd Anderson. You know,
don't believe
we
that one.
We got to know.
Believe that one, Pat.
Listen up. I'm going to tell you why, though. Listen,
now
listen,
now you're playing radio, not Pat.
Hear me out. Now, radio. I'm being real for a minute now. I'm going to tell you why. Because, see, I work in a public school, and them kids in public school need to see somebody that made it like this. Because, see, everybody can't go to no St. Thomas and Gibbons and all of that other nonsense. So they need to see people from their own school that made it. So I'm proud to say that. I am. I said the same thing to Gavin Joseph, man. Pat, you know who Davin Joseph is. Y'all about the same time coming out. He played played in the league a couple of years. He's from Hallandale. You know,
big lineman, way behind me.
Big lineman, yeah. I know. I know you know him. He actually played for Tampa too. Actually,
mm-hmm.
for a little bit. That was. Yeah. I don't think that was his first team though. But yeah, I said the same thing to him. So again, man, thank you for coming on the show. You always welcome. This is a Cobra Aquinas show every Thursday night. Every Thursday night, and you are always welcome, man, and we appreciate it.
Let me tell you this. They can reach me at famupat, number 9, just the 9, at yahoo.com. That's famupat9 at yahoo.com or 954-444-6228. 954-444-6228. Celebration. You know,
and they're going to be blowing you up. They're going to blow you up. You're putting your phone number out there, man. You sure you want to do that, you know?
That's all.
That's good. Pat, we doing 10,000 listeners now. This thing ain't petty no more. Cornell quit for a while.
No.
He wanted a check.
Yeah.
Cornell quit for a while.
That's right.
I had to get him to come.
He left
back.
Us out there.
He left us for a while. But yeah, it ain't petty no more. Cleon jumped on the bandwagon. He just got on trying to get a check. Don't get me started. To all the listeners out there, you've been listening to us live at www.blogtalkradio.com/speakonat11. Again, live with the Lot of Year legend, Cornell Celebration. Cleon and our guest tonight was Patrick Bonner, the one and only quarterback from Florida A&M University and the boy.
I want to ask Pat a question.
Make sure I say that.
I want to ask Pat a question before he hangs up. Who you got on the game this weekend? You're a Rattler, so tell us what it's going to be this weekend with the Bethune-Cookman Florida A&M Classic game. What you got on it?
I got Florida A&M 27, Bethune-Cookman 17.
And that's
it.
That's a score Celebration would never see because she'll be in the parking lot with the Qs. That's where she'll be.
I'll see it on my phone later.
We're going to go to a quick break. We're going to come back with Celebration Entertainment Report and Cornell's Coon of the Week, if he has a Coon of the Week. Do you have one, sir?
No, I told you, I ain't seen nobody.
This man, he ain't never be ready, man. Hey.
Oh, my God.
Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar bill, yo. I grew up on the crime side, the New York Times side. Staying alive was no job at second hand. Moms bounced on old men. So then we moved to Shaolin Land. A young youth, you're rocking the go-to. Low goose. Way I begin to G-York was drug loot. And let's start it like this, son. Rolling with this one and that one. Pulling out gas for fun. But it was just a dream for the team who was a fiend. Started smoking wools at 16. And running up in gates and doing hits for high stakes. Making my way on five skates. No question I was speed for cracks and weed. The combination made my eyes bleed. No question I would flow off and try to get the dough off. Sticking up right boys on board boys. My life got no better. Same damn low sweater. Times is rough and tough like leather. Figured out I went the wrong route. So I got with a sick tight click and went all out. Catching keys from cross seas. Rolling in MPVs. Every week we made 40 G's. Yo, brothers respect mine. I ain't gonna sex now. Bow, move from the gate now.
Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar bill, yo.
It's been 22 long, hard years. I'm still struggling. Survival got me bugging. But I'm alive on arrival. I'm beat back to stay for the streets. To stay awake to the ways of the world. Deep. A man with a dream. With plans to make cream. With fail. I went to jail at the age of 15. A young buck selling drugs and such. Who never had much. Trying to get a clutch on what I could not touch. The court play me so now I face incarceration. Pacing, no one has faced my destination. Handcuffed in back of a bus, 40 of us. Life as a shorty shouldn't be so rough. But as the world turned, I learned life was hell. Living in the world no different from a cell. Every day I skate from safe, give and take. Selling bass,
smoking bones in the staircase. Even though I don't know why I chose to smoke steps. I guess that's the time when I'm not.
Hey.
And we back. Hey, we back live on the line. That was a wonderful interview with Patrick Bond, I must say.
It was.
Yeah, he's very, very articulate. I mean, he broke it down, and then you can see. You can see why he was able to break down those defenses like that and do the things that he did on the football field. Very, very intelligent, very articulate. Good, great interview.
We gotta have him back. He's gotta come back.
We might have to have him back. Maybe we need to do some more interviews. Who would we like to interview next? Ex player.
We got a long list of people we can call.
Mm-hmm. I know we Twan Russell, Malcolm Pearson, Cameron Davis. We got a whole lot of people we can interview. So I don't know who we can, but it's that time. We got 5 minutes tonight, and it's that time that everybody loves to wait for. It's when you wine and dine. Sit back, take your shoes off, and get ready
That's
to talk about some nonsense and entertainment and sports and who going with who and who was Snapchatting with who and who was on Facebook with who. We do have a following with this on Facebook, believe it or not. We actually have people that inbox us and say they want to hear more of this, which they ain't going to hear more than 5 or 10 minutes of this. So,
you see how they do me, y'all? I say y'all protest. Y'all need to start petitioning for me like they're doing for me.
With no further ado, the floor is yours. I'm listening.
Good evening, everybody. It's me. Celebration, and I got a couple of stories. I'm not going to hold y'all long because we had a really good football chat with Pat. See how I put that together real quick, you know, a little rhyme scheme for you. But my news for tonight is we got a little sad news and a little, you know, mediocre news, but I'll just go ahead and start out with the sad and the bad. A young rapper by the name of Lil Peep. He's one of these new mumble rappers that takes a lot of pills and drinks a lot of lean. Yeah, his name is Lil Peep, and he died yesterday, actually.
He need to use the past tense. He don't drink no lean. Use the past tense.
He's leaning all the way back. I hate to say it that way, but he is
used to lean.
But
yeah,
the sad thing about it
now.
is, this is for my homies. He don't need no more, don't pour nothing out. Yeah. I've actually never heard any of his music. I don't know. He's one of these. OD'd. He OD'd on drugs, and as a matter of fact, he did it. He did it on social media, and sadly, my teenager told me about it, and he's like, "Mom, you heard about the rapper who died?" And I was like, "What? Who died?" I'm thinking it's somebody major, and he's like, "Lil Peep." I said, "Lil who?" But anyways, he was a new little mumble rap. I hate to say, well, his name is Lil Peep, was a mumble rapper with this new trend of tattooed face children with, you know, wigs that are colorful. And, you know, it's like a whole little movement of them. And at any rate, he was posting to Instagram before he overdosed. And on Bossup, you could go and take a look at the videos he posted before, like while he was taking pills. He was taking Xanax, and he overdosed and died. And I just really feel like the rappers today, these young rappers that are out, they don't pay homage to the classics. I'm just going to go on a mini rant because, you know, they don't pay homage to the classics. They don't feel like rappers like Biggie, Tupac, and, you know, all the greats, Nas, and even Wu-Tang, they feel like they're irrelevant. And what they're doing right now is they're teaching our youth that it's live to drink lean and pop pills. Like, I'm very nervous about that. It's a drug culture in rap.
And like, Future raps about drugs and all of that, but then he reportedly don't even
glamorize it. They glamorized it back in our day, they talked about using it as a way to get out of the hood, like selling it to other people. Never get high on your own supply. That's part of the Ten Commandments from Biggie.
Didn't we have a song? We had a song, Self Destruction. Remember that?
Yeah, we surely did. And it was fabulous. KRS-One, Miss Melody, and all the big rappers.
MC Light, Heavy D, everybody on that song. And they were talking about not using drugs. Now, Now everybody exactly. used though. Boy, I tell
and it's
you,
like
you
if
something.
You don't, if you don't, you're not cool like them. So I'm not with it. I hope more of us speak up about that because I don't. I personally don't think it's cool to see kids die online for attention. Like they screaming for help before they even take that last step. So y'all watch your kids. Watch what they're doing on social media. Listen to the music they're listening to. See what type of influences they're, you know, exposing your children to because I don't want another kid to think it's cool to draw all over his face and die of an overdose. I'm done with that.
Me neither. I mean, that's it. That's very interesting because now this thing, this generation is seeing, they're becoming a generation of being hooked, being addicted. Of addiction.
Addicted. Yeah.
Yeah.
And with very low motivation. Like, it seemed like years ago, people, they wanted to do something. They wanted to be something.
Yeah.
And they wanted to work hard. I think the millennials, you know, and I hate to I'm not putting the millennials down. I love y'all. But you really got to pay attention to what you're doing and what you're promoting and what you're talking about, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Good point, man. Good point. Well, you know, rest in peace, little peep. You know,
little
peep. Now I got to Google you, man.
Yeah, go on to Google
what,
and look at it. It'll make you mad.
I got to Google.
It'll make you mad. And I'll give you a positive and finish it up on a positive note. One of our favorite female rappers from back in our day. You know, she took a little pause for the cause. She got married to a very wealthy race car driver from the UK. She goes by the name of Eve. She used to be known as Pitbull in a Skirt, but now she wears Alexander McQueen, and she is a daytime talk show host. And you got to give it up for Eve. Come on
she
now.
She's still bald,
she
isn't
a, no. Whether she's bald-headed
that's
or not, she
matter.
Was pretty
that's
with her bald head. She was pretty. She's still pretty.
She's still bald-headed. That's all
we're not going to go there. She is not her hair. Y'all not going to do that to Eve, honey. No, no. She was cute. Everybody went shaved their head, too, and got tattoos on their chest. Dog paws on their chest.
You're right about that. Y'all followed that one, boy. Good Lord have mercy.
I didn't do that.
Y'all followed that, man. Y'all
followed
that like crazy. When Eve came out, everybody, they just chopped their hair off and made it bun and got a tattoo. I like Eve.
Yeah, Eve is really good.
I like Eve.
Yeah, she's good. And
Eve came up like Trina. Same come up. It's
who?
Trina.
Like,
she came up like Trina.
I think Eve made it. I think Eve is better off than Trina financially. You know what I'm saying?
She's been in movies.
Yeah. Yeah. And she gets respect in the game.
Well.
You know, I don't think Trina gets the same respect. She's a good rapper, but she don't get the same respect as Eve. And,
women don't never get the respect in the rap game that they should get. I mean, they just don't get
the
respect they should get. You know,
we got multi-platinum artists, females are coming out. Remy Ma actually just dropped her single with Lil' Kim yesterday.
That's the hardest rapper in New York right now. That's the hardest rapper in New York, a female.
Yeah,
that's
really good.
The Young M.A.
Young
M.A.
is too, though. Like, Young M.A. is like real masculine.
Not talked about.
Young
M.A. is being talked about. She's coming back.
That's why this is the sign of the world going in. 2017, the hardest rappers in New York are female. I tell you.
So why is that a bad thing, though? Females have always been in hip-hop.
No, I ain't saying that it's bad, I ain't saying it's bad. They can rap, too. I like Young M.A.
Yeah. She's
I like Young M.A.
She's good.
Yeah, she got a mixtape. I like it. I like her. Old as I am, my old self, listen to that mess. But, hey, what a great night we had tonight. I mean, we didn't get to my University of Miami Canes, but it's okay because the Canes are well on their way to going undefeated and winning the championship. And when they win
the
championship,
chain lives on.
Hopefully I will be right there. Anthony Moten, that's a hint. That's a hint, Mr. Anthony Moten, if you're listening. That's a hint.
Give a shout out to the quarterback dad, man. The quarterback
I'm
dad.
I'm
going
to give a shout out to Anthony Moten, number 95, first, because I watched where he came from in the sixth grade up until this point. This boy is on the This boy is on the verge of playing in a national championship. If I can do this, I will have two students that have won national championship rank. You know how big that is for somebody. Ain't too many people can say that. If this boy goes to the championship, I will have
nobody,
two
they ain't gonna
students.
Be able to have that bragging right. What? That you bought up? That you helped
came up under me. Two
came
of my boys.
Under, came up under the dawn. All
I
right.
got one, and that's Bobby Hart. He made me in the NFL now. Anthony Moten is on the verge of doing the same thing, and I will be at the game Saturday. Moten, I'm going to be right out there waiting for you to come out so you can, you
yeah.
and my son can meet you and all that other good stuff. But I'm at the game. I got my tickets. I'm ready to roll. We're ready to roll, baby. The Canes are back.
You gonna wear that
going
turnover chain? You gonna take a picture with the turnover chain on?
I want to buy a shirt. Where you get those shirts from? The
diamond.
I'll
find out.
They sell out as fast as you can get them.
They sell out.
I'll send you Derek's code number. I know he's got a little connection with DJ. So he was working for DJ, so I'll send you that in a minute.
Okay.
Oh, I gotta give one shout out. Before we go, let me give one shout out. I want to shout out Blue Sage Boutique. My cousin Christina Arenas is opening her storefront. No longer just online sales. She has a shop opening on the 19th. Check it out on Facebook and on Instagram here in Tampa. Go visit. She's a little younger than me. Yeah.
How old is
she's
little
got
young?
A storefront.
What is
she
selling?
How old is she?
She sells. A lady never tells her age, but since
about,
we graduated,
you know, woman
together,
ain't
you know how old
you.
I am. You well, know
reason,
how old I am,
say,
Tommy. Don't do it.
The reason
you
know
I'm
saying
I don't know.
Your family, y'all have some good genes.
Yes, sir.
Y'all have some good genes, so. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
How old she is? Anyway.
She's a little younger than me. She's a little younger than me, but she's doing her thing. Do it, girl. Opening. Grand opening November 19th. Get out there and go see them. They sell shirts. She sells shirts. She has a delicious line of candles. I love candles, and her candles are so good smelling. A nice, heavy scent, but it's attractive scent. Not one of those cheap smelling candles. It's a really nice essential oil candle. And other products too, natural hair care products, natural products. Blue Sage Echo Boutique in Tampa. Grand opening November 19th. Check it out online. Be there. Get the deal. Get the deal.
Well, there it is, and we signing off tonight. I was a self proclaimed Lauder Hill legend, but tonight Cornell has renamed me as the first sellout ever at the St. Thomas Aquinas
High
School.
Don't wear that.
So
don't wear
that's
that.
What he
want to
come.
That.
He's still
Django.
But
Django.
Hey, I want everybody to have a wonderful Thursday night. Those of y'all that's going out to Brews Room, I know y'all going to ladies night. Enjoy yourself.
Hey.
I'm not going there. I'm going to bed. Y'all have a good one. We'll see y'all next week.
Next week is Thanksgiving.
Are we gonna go on Wednesday? I don't know. Y'all stay tuned to the Facebook page. That's what you do. We'll put it out there, cause we can't let another week go by. Cause one week go by for us, and then we'll be off for a month. All
right.
Right.
They're loving us. We love y'all.
They go to outro music. Yes, we are gone, and we appreciate y'all. Thank you for coming.